Session two is one of my favorite sessions. It's when we take a look at the steps of compassionate action. These are what we do when we see someone in pain and want to assist that person to lessen their pain. It is the foundation of this work, and for me, the easiest to understand yet hardest to do. So the first step is to notice another's pain. I talked earlier about how missing my anxiousness about getting all my errands done was causing pain for my daughter. Have a kid like that? A sponge for others' emotions? While my goal is to be present enough to know when my child or another adult is feeling pain, I can't be 100% present 100% of the time. As a facilitator, you'll be helping the participants to identify how their expectations of themselves can leave them feeling guilt about not being fully present for their children or others all the time. The goal here is to notice if you can be present and when you cannot, and to be able to state that in a compassionate manner. An example would be, I can see that you're having strong feelings about something, and I want to be able to talk to you about that. Can we talk in 30 minutes after I get dinner in the oven? What can you do while I'm getting ready to be with you? You're beginning to introduce concepts that will be looked at more deeply in later sessions, expectations and boundaries as supports for compassionate caregiving. Other steps of compassionate action include self-check, seeking to understand, empathy, and discerning best action. As you review these steps, consider how they apply to you as a facilitator. I had a few experiences when I found myself clearly trying to give advice rather than seek to understand the parent's perspective and the answers that she had for her family. Like I said, it isn't easy, but I'm clear that it's how best to be with people in pain. One resource we share with caregivers and parents in session two is a set of emotional regulation plans for children. These plans engage the child in discussing what situations lead them to having big feelings and the behaviors that sometimes arise that lead to problems. They then consider what other options they have that are calming and soothing, and also what they want adults in their lives to do to support them. Some of the parents in the pilots reported working on these with their children and learning some good information about their child. It was helpful to have an agreed-upon plan for how they will try to regulate themselves in the future. These plans look complicated at first, but they really come down to a kid developing their own story about their feelings, their actions, and what they are working on to be able to enjoy more of their day rather than experiencing the consequences of dysregulation. All of this has to be done in the context of the child's unique abilities and supports. And of course, all of us should have our own emotion story that we can share with our family. We suggest that the adults create a plan to share with their child and work together on coping and calming strategies.